called God's Prophetic Schedule. God's Prophetic Schedule. We've been talking about the Antichrist the last couple of weeks. I thought I would just, for a moment, is Jesus' coming important? Is it near? Just this week, listen to this, just this week, there were earthquakes in Taiwan, 7.4, earthquakes in New Jersey and New York City, 4.8. Ukraine may become part of NATO. We have also seen there's ongoing war in the Middle East, ongoing war, Ukraine and Russia. Tonight was announced this week that AI needs more food, so the internet may not be big enough to solve all the AI's voracious appetite. A lot going on today. Scotland just started a law April the 1st of this year regarding compliance, regarding losing free speech in Scotland. That was just this week. Just this week. So is the Lord's return imminent? Yes. Could it happen any moment? Yes. Is it near? It seems to me it is near. The world, I heard someone say this morning before church, which I would agree with, the world, it's going to be ready for a one world ruler, and the world has to get bad for, you know, that's when Christ comes back. I think shortly thereafter, the tribulation will start. So this man we have seen, we're going to see today, this man of sin, son of perdition, the beast, the Antichrist, is going to be the one world ruler. I listened to a message this week, last week, and it talked about how that even the Orthodox Jews today recognize the Messiah has to come to bring them back into the land. I was reading as part of my devotions this morning, Isaiah 10, and the Lord is going to bring Israel back into the land. Matter of fact, when Israel comes back into the land, wake up. And that happened in 1948 when Israel became a nation again. They're coming back into the land again. There are over 7 million Jews in Israel today, about a total of only 14 to 15 million across the world, and there are Jewish American flag pins on the back. If you want one of those, please take one of those and put it on your lapel. Mine's in my pocket. I forgot to put it on today. But that's and a lot of prophecy. The Jews have to be back in the land. So I would say to us, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. His return to the earth. And I believe clearly that God's going to remove his church, the truly born-again believers, before the tribulation starts. We are not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ to call us home to be with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 14 to 13 to 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 to 58. He's coming back for us. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's going to come back to where we are. He's coming back to be with us in the revelation of Christ. But in the rapture of the church, the catching away, we are going to be with him. So I really think it's clear in Scripture if you believe in the historical, grammatical, literal interpretation of Scripture. You are a pre-tribulationist. Christ comes before the tribulation. You are a premillennialist, that he comes back before the millennium. Matter of fact, you can't have a 1,000-year reign on earth unless he is back here ruling and reigning. A lot of exciting things to happen. Hope I don't get too wound up. I don't want to blow a gasket today. So there we are. Second coming. Christ is going to come back. My mom and dad are coming back with him. My mother and father-in-law coming back with him when he comes back for the church, and they're going to come all the way to the earth, and the graves are going to burst asunder in some way. They're going to get their body changed in a moment, the twinkling of the eye. If we're alive, changed in a moment, twinkling of the eye, and up we go together, alto or tenor. I don't know which part. Right now I'm singing tenor. I'll be singing alto if I die and come back, I guess. But there we're going to go up to be with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to be fantastic, but I'm telling you, we're not staying in heaven. We're coming back to the earth to rule and to reign with him for 1,000 years on the refurbished earth. And then comes eternity, where we're going to be what? In heaven? No. Heaven comes to earth. This idea, you're dying, you're leaving the earth never to see it again, is far from Scripture. Matter of fact, you're going to spend far more time, matter of fact, eternity, on the new earth. This idea that we're leaving earth never to see it again. It's interesting. When I worked in Bible Truth Music in Virginia, Steve Hall said to me, "Tim, you know the best thing about Virginia?" I said, "No." He goes, "It's 64 West leaving it." And I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, having been living in Virginia. I told that to somebody this week, and she laughed and laughed because her sister lives in Virginia now. And so she laughed and laughed and laughed. Maybe you're from Virginia. I'm not trying to be hard on Virginia. I lived there for 4 years. Matthew 24, verse 15, please. If you're over there, and I got to get me a pair of glasses here just a moment. Matthew 24:15, Jesus is speaking to perhaps four disciples, perhaps a few more, and they've asked him, what's the signs of your coming? How do we know your kingdom is going to come? He gives the longest answer ever given by Jesus to any question recorded in Scripture. Matthew 24:25. Now, I believe Matthew 24:25 applies to the tribulation time. And so that's why after verse 15, we're in the tribulation time. So Matthew 24:15, we're in the middle of tribulation. What is the tribulation time? It is 7 years where God is going to bring judgment upon the earth. Most importantly, the Jewish people at the end of that 7 years will, as a nation, receive Christ as their very own personal Messiah, as a nation, the Messiah. All Jews will not believe, sadly. By the way, if you want to know what is a Jewish person who receives Christ in this era, I just read Completed Jew. It's called now Completed Jew. I saw that most as a guy preaching down in South Carolina, and the pastor said, we're going to have a completed Jew speak to us today. And so we call a Messianic Jew, maybe more modern take as a completed Jew. 24:15, when ye therefore, Jesus' words, see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, the temple, built in rebellion or unbelief during the beginning first 3.5 years of the tribulation time, that holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. I personally believe the last 3.5 years, 1,260 days, will be the great tribulation, where it is simply the tribulation the first 3.5 years. Now, some would say that it is all great tribulation, and that is fine with me. You can choose what you want. But the son of perdition, the CEO of the devil, if you would, he's going to come on the world scene with power and authority, and he will, by the 3.5 years, the middle of the tribulation point, he will have solidified his power, that he will go into the Jewish temple and probably offer perhaps a sow, a pig or something on that altar, which is such a heinous thing to the Jewish people. They have considered him their Messiah, and now he does something so egregious to the Jews. And after that, we'll find out in just a few moments that he actually starts persecuting the Jewish people and the Christians. Shall we turn now with me, please, to Revelation, back to 13, please, for just a moment. Actually, we're going to put your parking brake in Revelation 13 for the most part, and then be able to wander back and forth here and there. Revelation 13, if you would there, please. Revelation 13, the book of Revelation, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That's what it's about. It's about chapter 19. We can't wait to get to chapter 19 in reality when Christ comes back to rule and to reign. We're still waiting for 1 Thessalonians 4, but when he catches us up, Revelation 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. So we know right off the bat this is a bad person or entity or kingdom. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, who is Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Can I ask you just one question before I read any further? What is the one thing that really will make the beast remarkable? He comes back from the dead. See, that's what we have. Christians are the only ones who serve the risen Lord and Savior. The tomb is still empty. He is alive forevermore. And that's what makes Christianity so singularly the only true religion, because we have a risen Savior. So when the beast comes back to life, Antichrist, people are going to wonder, wow, well, maybe this really is better. He really is better than God. Why would you not? I mean, they choose, do the people in the tribulation time, do they not choose the mark of the beast? Condemning themselves to Christless eternity? Yes, because they believe they're choosing between him and God. So when he comes back from the dead, Wow, I choose the beast. Very bad plan. Verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon. Remember, the dragon is Satan, serpent, which gave power unto the beast, the Antichrist. There's about 30 names in the Bible, I believe, for the beast at least. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. By the way, it's either or. It's either the beast or it is God. It's today is the same thing. There are not a bunch of paths leading to nebulous directions. There is but one way to God, is through his son Jesus. There's not a multiplicity of ways. It's Jesus' heaven. It's God's heaven. And he says, how are you going in? It's that clear. Nothing else. You have no, well, I'm just going to go to heaven. What, do you know whose heaven it is? It's God's heaven. That's what makes heaven great. It's where God is. So heaven could come to earth. If God comes down, then it becomes heaven, right? Yes. Sometimes we just don't think things through. 42 months, half of this tribulation period, 6, and he opened his mouth and blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it's given on him to make war with the saints. By the way, are you a saint? Yes. If you're a child of God, you are a saint. Whether you've been dead 50 years or not, trust no one's been dead. He's living. He's here today. He's been dead 50 years already. To overcome them, and power was given unto them, all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now here, look at this key. Whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Those that worship him are just not there because they're not born-again Christians. If you're a born-again Christian, I believe personally, your name is not only in the book of life, but it's in the Lamb's book of life from which it will never be blotted out. Amen. Woohoo! That's great. We should rejoice. I know where I'm going. I know who my Savior is, and I have eternity because of what God has done for me. And you can have the same assurance. He has come to give us peace. Now, he does bring a sword because it is divisive. People want to have, well, I think I can go to heaven this way, or I can go to, no, but there's just but one way. That's the sword. Trust him. Is he worthy of trust? Yes. Yes, he is. He said, but God's not concerned about his people. Yes, he is. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden from chapter 3, verse 15. From that on, God said, I got a plan. There's a Redeemer coming. He's going to crush the serpent's head. The serpent's going to bruise his heels yet at the Calvary. Yes. He's going to crush the serpent's head. As a matter of fact, I'm so concerned about sinful man that 4,000 years from now, Jesus is coming to die on the cross so that sinful man may be forgiven of their sin. Up until that point in time, sins were covered with the blood. Jesus comes. It is what? Finished. Amen. Great. And the Greek word is tetelestai. One time. It's over. No more need. And now we have not just covering, we have forgiveness of our sin. We should, woohoo, praise the Lord for that. Shouldn't we not? We should. I see the gasket's already warming up. It's all right. If any man here have an ear, let him hear. We'll stop right there. That's enough for today. We're not even getting near that far today. So this beast that comes on the scene. Now, we've heard a lot about, it was George H. Bush. Not, I try very hard not to be political in either one way or the other, but he called this change the New World Order. Klaus Schwab wrote a book called The Great Reset. Now, I have the second volume on my Kindle. I haven't read it yet. But it's a big change. Schwab, quoting, says, a bonfire of blinkered capitalism wants to be dismantled, and a shift from hierarchies to wirearchies, said another person. But there's going to be this, there wants to be a reset. Now, in the truest sense, a great reset is nothing new. It's not new. It's going to be a little bit different. The details will be different. It's as old as Genesis. Can you think back in Genesis? About 6,000 years ago, I'm a new earth creationist, by the way, 6,000 years ago, we had in chapter 11, maybe not quite 6,000 years ago, so we're chapter 11, it was called the Tower of Babel. So, Tower of Babel is a great reset. We don't want to do what God says. We want to stay here. We want to worship other gods. Building that tower, by the way, was not a good thing. It was like they were going to put on top, and they're probably worshiping the heavens or the stars or angelic hosts. It was not worshiping God, because God comes down and he confuses their language, and the Great Reset is over, because it's... Now, there was an earlier Great Reset, God's Great Reset, 6, 7, and 8. It's called the Great Flood. Comes on the scene, and there's only 8 left after that reset. And so there's been God-ordained reset. The first mankind's reset was the Tower of Babel, and they want to change everything today. The Great Reset. There's, by the way, it was a fairly smart man who said that there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. So today we have the World Economic Forum, headed by Klaus Schwab, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the United Nations, a number of other countries, including ours, who want to change history, kind of, sort of. There's been a lot of great resetters. There's been the pharaohs. There's been Nebuchadnezzar, which we started in Daniel. What an amazing book, Daniel. We only got the first two verses done today. Teens are probably like, oh, brother, how long is it going to take? We're just doing the first 6 chapters, so not to worry. Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, Roman emperors, Caesars, Napoleon, Stalin, Lenin, Hitler, and they all had aspirations of ruling the world. By the way, did you know there are only 4 empires in the world history who are called actually world empires? We know them from the statue of Mr. Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. The 4 heads. John wrote about Domitian, the Roman emperor, probably the 5th head. And then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll do about maybe just a few minutes to talk about that, the 7 heads. But there's only 4 in all of history. There's coming a day, however, there's going to be one man who rules the world, and he's going to have the authority of Satan behind him, I think, personally, from the second half on. He's going to possibly even indwelt by Satan himself, and he's going to come on the scene, and he is going to be a terrible, terrible, terrible person. He's the beast. Now, I complain about my cat, especially that one long-haired girl cat, all the time. And she is something else. Trickster, loud sometimes, hissing, biting, snarling, scratching. I think we're not going to have a shred of furniture left by the time she gets those claws sharpened up. I'll tell you what, nothing left. Anyway, the beast, and here is that ravenous, vicious beast. Nothing good. I can tell you nothing good about the Antichrist. Nothing good. He's in place of, instead of, against Jesus Christ. Can I tell you anything it's in place of, instead of, against Jesus Christ is not good, whether it's America today or the beast in the future or sometime in the past. You stand against God, it's a bad plan. God wins. Every time. Now, you may have a little moment of victory. You may have a little battle here. And by the way, I think personally we've lost a lot of battles of late. Battles. But I know who wins the war. I know who wins the war. He will be enthroned as God forever. You don't have to write it down. It's already written down for us to read. Just believe it. So he's going to come on the scene. And he's gonna reset a lot of things. Now, Klaus Schwab's book is called COVID-19 and the Great Reset, Volume 2, which I do have, The Greatest Narrative for a Better Future. Other books called The Great Reset and the War for the World. And Alex Jones' book, The Order of Fear, The Great Reset Trilogy. So there's a lot about that. Now, we hear this thing, conspiracy theory. Pastor, it's a conspiracy theory. A lot of people will say Jesus coming back is a conspiracy theory. Did you know that? The world would probably... That's them bald-headed preacher preaching about Jesus coming back. We're good. I told my wife as we're coming in to Greenup and everybody's getting their boats out. Now, I love fishing. I'm not trying to boohoo fishing. And they got all their RVs and we have so many of these side-by-side things go through our area. Now, that's fine. Don't have a problem with that. But they're living as if God doesn't exist. They're living as if there is no God. But there is a God. And he will call us to account. Everyone stands before God. You may be able to skirt paying your taxes. You cannot skirt standing before God. We will. I trust that you're ready. So, number one, back of your outline, we are up to number one, believe it or not. The authority that is given to the Antichrist. If you're visiting with us today and you hope it gets better next week, it probably will not. And so the authority given to the Antichrist. And I tried to slow down so many times. I just can't slow down when I get too wound up. Verse 1, chapter 13 says, "And I stood upon the sands of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, kings, and 10 horns, countries, nations, and upon 10 horns, 10 crowns, his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy." Do you see what, now, could you just stop? And what does that mean about the end of verse 1 if it says the 10 heads had the name of blasphemy on, they sided with the beast. Do you understand that? They've chosen. You're choosing today, and praise the Lord, you're here. I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. Praise the Lord for that. You're going to choose tomorrow, and you're going to choose Tuesday, and you're going to choose Wednesday, Thursday, and the rest of your life, who are you going to serve? If you've trusted Christ, we have no option, and it's a glorious option. It's the peace of God that comes when we serve the God of peace. We have that joy. So the authority is given to the beast. Now remember, in our scripture reading before 1250 AD, by the way, if you see BCE and CE, please ignore those. That is man's attempt to jettison God. BC is before common era, BCE, and CE is common era. That's a replacement of before Christ and in the year of our Lord, AD. So if we don't want God, we're going to make up some new initials. And let's stick with what God has said. I'm telling you, you're never going to be sad for putting God first. When I stand before God, I don't want to say, well, Lord, I read your word. I believe you created everything in 6 literal days. I trusted you. I want to say that instead of, well, you know, Lord, I heard a lot of what man said, and I just believe that you used evolution to make everything happen. I don't want that. I want to say, you know, I trusted you. I trusted your word. So we find here that the chapter divisions were added to 1200s, verse divisions 1551. So we could almost, the 17 flows right into 1, and dragon was wroth with the woman, the dragon, Satan, wroth, angry, the woman, Israel, and went to make war with the remnant, that would be those of her seed, the seed of Israel, which keep the commandments of God. It's the seed of Israel who are Christians, or other Gentile Christians, I believe, as well, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's who Satan hates. He hates the believers. He hates the Jews. He hates Jewish believers. My goodness, you think how doubly hated if a Jew becomes a child of God. He hates them even more. Why does he hate them? Because he can't whip up on God, to say it McGoffin County-ish. But he can whip up on the Christians if they let him. And he sure can try to keep blind the eyes of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine unto them. He can confuse the unbelievers today because he wants to take as many as he can. It's like, oh, Satan. So let's join with Satan, and when we get on Satan's side, he will welcome us into his family, and he will say, well, thank you so much. No, what he's going to do for all those who believe in Satan and reject Christ, he's going to give them the boot, probably right, if he could, right into the lake of fire. It's not like, oh, I'm so glad to have you on my team. He's going to laugh, likely. All those people who believe my lies, and you're going to spend eternity with, not with me, but in the same place as me. There's no good in him. And it's not like you're going to be on some authority. If I follow Satan, then I'll have this authority in the life to come, or I'll have authority here on earth. For what purpose? He's about himself. Not about you. How confused we get. So verse 17, he's angry. And John says, I stood upon the sand of the sea. Some believe this could also refer to Satan, or the dragon, standing on the sea. If you're watching, looking out, the dragon there is identified. In 12:9, he's identified. And by the way, a lot of people quit reading Revelation after they get so far, read a couple of verses. Well, I just can't understand that. If you keep reading, a lot of it explains itself. 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the whom? The devil. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And just so in case you're not sure on that, 20 of Revelation verse 2, the beginning of the millennial reign, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The dragon is Satan. It is the devil. He is anti-God. In 12:17, back over in 12:17, now he's angry with the woman and went to make war at the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The woman prophetically, as you well know, probably already, is Israel. She gives birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The Jews who have been converted up to that point, who listened to the admonition that Jesus gave, they go into the wilderness. Shall we read it for ourselves? We shall. 12, please, starting at 13. Best commentary on the scripture is the scripture itself, 12:13 of Revelation. And when the dragon, now we know who the dragon is now, who is it? Satan. Saw that he was cast into the earth. I cannot tell you exactly how that, what all that entails. But somehow his, where he's, what is he called now? The prince of the power of the air. So somehow that's curtailed and he's cast to the earth. He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. The woman is Israel. The man-child is the Messiah. And to the woman, Israel, were given two wings of a great, metaphorically, eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, a year, and times 2 years, and half a time, half a year, 3.5 years. From the face of the serpent. Now, who's the serpent? That is the devil. And the serpent, the devil, Satan, cast out his mouth water as of a flood after the woman, Israel, that he might cause her, Israel, to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, who is Israel, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed the flood which the dragon, Satan, cast out of his mouth. And the dragon, now we understand why he's angry, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, Israelites, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why is he not warring with everybody else? Because some have already sided with him. Well, he's not going to bother those who've already sided with him. It's those who are standing for Christ. Tim LaHaye says the greatest revival will happen during the tribulation time. More, he says, he believes, now he's already with the Lord, he believes that more will be saved during the tribulation time, those 7 years, than all the previous 2,000 years of history, which is a huge number. There's going to be 144,000 Jews. Now, we've always called them witnesses. It doesn't say specifically they're witnesses, but there's going to be 144,000 Jews who serve the Lord. And there's going to be other. There's going to be two main witnesses that come and work for God. And there are going to be people who trust Christ as personal Savior. But it's those, I believe, who have never heard the truth of the gospel. It says in 2 Thessalonians that those who have heard the gospel and have said no, basically, are going to believe a strong delusion, the lie. We just have read it in 17. And they worship, verse 13:4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is likened to the beast? Who's able to make war with him?
Could a strong delusion be that the Antichrist is really the delusion that he's really, could that possibly be the delusion that he's God? We don't know. But they're going to believe something that other than the truth of the gospel.
So they flee. Henry Morris says it's all those living in Jerusalem are fleeing to the wilderness for protection. Now, we have believed possibly Petra. We just studied that in the book of Obadiah. Petra might be where they go to. We don't know. The rest of those children being Jews who did not pay attention or leave, and the Gentiles who are converted, he's going to try to destroy them as much as possible. Verse 12:17. And he was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, the Israelites who were left. But Pastor, I thought he liked Israel. He did 3.5 years ago. Matter of fact, he signed a 7-year agreement. I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to be on your side. Just as long as, and under his breath, just as long as I have to be. And then I'm going to turn on you. Because Satan hates the Jewish people. These believers, they keep the commandments of God, it says here. Kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan hates that. By the way, if you are saved, you do not walk in the way of the ungodly, for your life has been changed. If your religion hasn't changed your life, you better find a different religion. Because Christianity is more than, I think it's a relationship.
That's what I would call that. It's a relationship with Jesus. That's what it is. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, they will not renounce Jesus even at the most the cost of their heads. If you trust Christ during the tribulation time, you're probably going to lose your head over it, literally. Because I am not, and by the way, if it comes to America and they ask you, either die or renounce Christ, I trust you're ready to go to heaven and say, well, just kill me now. I'm ready to go. Listen, a lot of people have already done that in church history. You should look up church history. So it's not like we're some great, God's chosen people went into captivity for 70 years. God's chosen people are going to go through all the tribulation time. God's chosen people, he has wreaked vengeance upon them for their idolatry and disobedience. You think America is going to somehow get a free pass on all of that? I think not. So there comes a point in time down the road, here in America or somewhere else, I trust you'll stand for God. There are some things worse than death, by the way. Death for a believer is just a chariot that takes us home to be with him. So he's going to do that to the unholy trinity. We find that there's going to be Satan attempts to be God the Father, the beast attempts to be God the Son, and the false prophet attempts to be God the Holy Spirit. There's the unholy trinity because Satan is the greatest of all imitators. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And you see people who address, we talk about idols in Sunday school, the people who dress like, act like, walk like, listen to all the albums and all these things, and spent their entire life following somebody else, when they stand before God, it's not going to be Carrie Underwood that my wife's going to be asked about. It's not going to be on whoever else. I don't even know. I'm so ignorant of who people are stars today. What's that girl's name? Taylor. It's not going to be Taylor Swift that Stephanie's going to be asked about. Did you follow Taylor Swift? God's going to say, Stephanie, right. Who did you serve? It's going to be Tim Wright, not Jonas Kaufman or anybody else, or Vladimir Horowitz, the great pianist. It's not going to be that. It's going to be, Tim, what did you do for me? And when you stand before God, it's going to be you. You might have Bill Gates. You might have Warren Buffett. You might have Jeff Bezos. You might have Adolf Hitler. You might have all these people. Pastor Wayne might be standing here, which that would be wonderful. Pastor Wayne's here. But he's still not going to ask me about what Pastor Wayne did. I'll say, Pastor Wayne is a wonderful guy. Served you faithfully. He's not asking me about him. He's asking me about me. He's asking you. What did every one of us may give an account of what we have done? Read it for yourself, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We're going to stand there. But Satan is angry. He's just plain angry all the time. So we find Satan, the dragon, or John's looking at the sand of the sea, and out of the sand of the sea comes a beast, a hateful beast, a ravenous wild animal. It's appropriate that describe the coming of Christ, the coming of the Antichrist as a beast, by the way. It's not the first time the Holy Spirit has used the symbol of a beast to describe either a king or a kingdom. So we find here in our text, it could be sometimes as we read our text, it's going to be sometimes the individual, sometimes the kingdom of the beast. It's sort of like a floodlight and spotlight. If we want to look at the kingdom of the beast and all things he's going to do to destroy the world, that's the floodlight. If we want to zero in on just the beast himself, that's the spotlight. Floodlight for his kingdom, spotlight for the beast himself. When he initially comes on, he's going to be an angel of light. He's going to be what the Jewish people have looked for. And by the way, I'm telling you, the Jewish people are looking for someone. The world's looking for someone who will come on the scene and make my life safe and take care of all these problems and give me all the things that I want and deserve. I'm looking for those things. And man, if you can do that, I'll sign me up for that. What, are we going to lose your rights? I don't care. Sign me up. We're taking all your money. I don't care. Sign me up. If you can keep me healthy and happy and make all of my life easy as pie, sign me up. That's where we're approaching. By the way, we're approaching there pretty rapidly with our own digital currency coming on the scene, etc. So the old serpent, the dragon, is standing, perhaps John sees this, or John's standing on the seashore, and he looks out. It's interesting. Let's close with Revelation 1:1. All about this. Why all these different things? Pastor, Revelation's so hard to understand. It is like
learning to play the scales on the piano. There are 12 major keys, 12 minor keys. I've never learned to even do the scales, minor keys. And the 12 major keys have about 6 or 7 scales that have the exact same fingering. I think sometimes if I had a dollar for every time I've gone up and down a scale, I'd be like a millionaire. But then they have different fingerings. And it just takes, I'm telling you, it takes work. It just takes work to keep those. Start with this finger, end with that finger. Start with this finger, end with that. And they don't always start with the same fingers. C, D flat, D, E flat, E, F, G flat, or F sharp, G, A flat, A. And you start with different fingers and you're up in different, if we're going to end up in different places, it just takes some time to understand what God's plan is for the future as best we can. It's going to take time on your part. One pastor preached 72 messages through the book of the Revelation. 72 messages. Look what it says for us in verse 1. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, can you tell me what the first part of signified is? Sign. Signified. Now, we'd say, oh, you're pronouncing it wrong. But it helps us with the understanding. Signified. He is telling us, listen, this is what's going to happen in the future. The signs of the times, the sign of the times are, the rhyme writer said, everywhere. We can look, we can read. Blessed he that hears, those that read. You need to be in God's book if you want to understand what God's plan is. But pastor, it's hard to understand. Well, send me questions. No one ever sends me a question, ever. I don't know whether it's good or bad. I love nothing more than talk about things in the Bible. That's my favorite thing to talk about. You need to be here. Signs of the times. For God so loved the world that he gave. Three things, the bottom of the bulletin, and we'll pray. Three things you need to be by application. I learned from this text, when you reject the truth, you will believe a lie. You will believe a lie. Secondly, to those who are saved, we need to be discerning. Talk about that tonight some. Spend time in the book. And three, the human heart was made to be occupied by the Lord. The human heart, there's a cavity in you that only God can fill. You need to, if you've never trusted Christ, receive him. Empty yourself of your pride. Tell him that you're a sinner, which we all are, and confess and forsake, believing he died on the cross, buried and rose again for you. Trust him today. He will come in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The signs signifying what you are going to bring to pass. Lord, the Bible is the only authoritative book on the future. The only one we'll ever read. Authoritative from you. Lord, help us to read it. And Lord, if there be even one person here today that has never given their heart and life to you, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. May they repent and receive you. Perhaps there's someone who needs to be baptized. Perhaps they know what we believe here at our church, have been saved and baptized, won't become part of our church fellowship. Lord, I don't know the needs of hearts. You, the Holy Spirit, do. So Lord, if you pricked our conscience, may we respond today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.